The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We've gone Linkin Park here to launch the 7 o'clock hour on the George Show, 710 KNUS. First off, I want to again thank Frank for the great call to advance the conversation at 6 o'clock hour. But, Billy, the You Choose the News was really a cut above. And, again, they're always very good. But today's, and it makes me more disappointed that my time management was so poor, but for good reasons, that we cheated you out of some of that because... One, I think the fact that we have some of the corporate bigwigs in town means if they listen to that segment, this could be the last George Show. Nobody knows, but if you don't hear us tomorrow and instead hear Jimmy, you'll know what happened. And that is they've cut me loose. And frankly, they will not punish Billy. It'll just be me. Now, listen, I am pleased as punch, and yes, I use that phrase, to have in studio, as always, we have the opportunity to have certain movers and shakers and policy thinkers and bigwigs in studio, but we're going a different direction in this segment. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, wow, we're going
with one of our favorites, one of our regulars in studio. And I said this before the break, she's no shrimp, although if you take the first initial and last name, it spells out prawn. It's our good friend Priscilla Ron. Thanks for joining us, Priscilla.
Great to be here. Great to see you.
Now, listen, are we getting Priscilla on camera? Frankly, that's only going to increase the viewership and the subscribers. So thank you. If you get us over the benchmark Mark Crowley set, all credit to you. You can see that Priscilla is wearing a coat. I've decided to don the same, not just to make her feel good, but to make me feel good. Because, as always, the temperature in this room is somewhere around 10 degrees Celsius, maybe 5 degrees Celsius. And I don't know what that equates to in Fahrenheit, like 30 below. But it is freaking cold in here. Priscilla, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here. And I'm that's kind of a closed camera. I feel like you can see my pores and stuff, you know?
That's the goal, because we're going to talk about not just candles, but facial cream. Yeah. So is that the next version of what you're doing?
Absolutely. I've been busy in my new, you know, home office making things.
You know, listen, I want to talk politics with you when we're going to, but since we're here, how's the candle world?
The candle world is amazing. I recently made 25 gift candles for gift bags for an organization.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, to try to get, you know, pump up capitalism. So hopefully get some business from those samples that I made.
And I think you've confirmed for us in the past that much like Tyler Durden from Fight Club, most of your candles are based on human fat. Is that no?
They are pretty much non-toxic. That's the goal.
That's great.
Soy and coconut.
Look at that. And yeah. So you have very clever names for your candles.
I do.
Have you created some recently that you're pretty proud of you want to share with us?
I haven't created anything, although it became so popular that all of my friends are like, when am I going to get my candle? And I'm like, anytime.
You mean like named after them?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Designer candles.
Yes. If you want to buy a candle, I will design a label just for you.
That is, and does it cost a little extra?
No.
You throw in a little something like that?
No, it's from my heart.
That's impressive. If this thing really takes off, will you be burning them at both ends? Hello, that just happened.
Wait, do you have that button?
Bam. No, I don't. I just have Billy. And so Billy usually comes on and does the verbal ba-dum-bump. That's low tech, but that's what we have. Priscilla Ron, you are the vice chair of the state GOP party. There has been some stuff going on. One of them is we have a meeting coming up where there's going to be some decisions about the leadership. Your term in office is 2 years, right?
Yes.
And you have now been in this office for 14 cycles. No, I'm kidding. Is this your first term?
End of my first term.
What we do know is that Christy Burton Brown has made the decision to not run again. She is going to return to, she says, activism and stuff. She does a lot of grassroots stuff. Education's a big thing for her. She has kids that she'd like to be smarter. So I imagine she's going to focus on the education stuff. But what I have not heard yet is that vice chair spot, which is critical to the success, really, of the organization. Have you decided whether or not you're going to run again? And are we going to get the exclusive announcement right here on The George Show on 710 KNUS?
Well, George, since you're one of my absolute favorite people on the entire planet.
Thank you.
Promises made, promises kept. I am officially announcing on your show that I am running for a second term to be Colorado's vice chairman.
We got it here. You have the exclusive, folks. You've heard it right here. Billy, I don't know if we have some sort of like celebratory music, maybe a big band or something, but this feels like the end of this segment has to be that kind of music.
On short notice, I can make fart noises with my armpit, but that's about as much as I can do in short notice.
First off,
thank
you for clarifying that what I'm hearing through the window is an armpit.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
Up until this point, all I was praying for was another candle.
I know, but again, but at least I can play Jingle Bells. So,
That's going to be something we've saved for the holidays if we make it that far. Priscilla, congratulations,
Thank you.
Tell me about the decision making. And I say that in light of the fact that there has been some in the party who have been pretty aggressive about criticizing the leadership at the state GOP in light of the performance in the midterms. You know, I think anybody could totally see going through something like that and being like, you know what? I paid my dues. I did my thing. I can still be value added in another role. Why have you decided to continue to step up?
Well, I feel like, you know, it's taken a couple of years to kind of learn the ropes and meet people. And we made some really great relationships these past 2 years in the community that I feel like can be strengthened. You know, as a teacher, I always feel like there's always more opportunities to learn and grow. And we do need some continuity. You know, with Christy leaving and we're going to have new leadership at the top and new office staff, I think it's going to be helpful for myself and Marilyn, who's running for re-election.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
Marilyn's such a great lady. I mean, and here's what's for folks that don't understand how the party works and stuff. What is unique about this last bit of leadership that we had is KBB, you and Marilyn are all kind of the grassroots folks that come from different parts of the state. But you're all grassroots activists that have found their way into leadership. I don't know that we've ever really had that before. So that was very unique. And I imagine that that's still going to be the approach for whoever it is that runs for chair as well. I'm glad to hear that Marilyn's run. She's a great lady.
Yeah, there's quite a steep learning curve. And when you're talking with people all across the state with different goals and desires and needs and just the nuances and the diversity in Colorado, it's really important to build on those relationships that, you know, we've worked so hard to be able to have that base to now go into two more years to grow, because we have great elections coming up, municipal, school board, which I'm really interested in as an educator. And then going into 2024, it's going to be a really important year for us as Republicans to get behind a really great Republican candidate for president. And of course, you know, we have some legislative races that we're going to have to get behind. So having some of that institutional knowledge and stability going forward is going to be key to support who our new chair is.
It's the timing of 2024. It will be interesting for this rebuild. And it feels like we're going through a rebuild, right? Much like the Broncos in some ways. Is that 2024 offers not a single statewide race, right? Like we don't have Senate. We don't have governor. We have none of that stuff. We really can focus on the more regional and localized races. Of course, every congressional seat is up, but we have all of these legislative seats that are up that could help us shift the balance of power back under the Gold Dome. That's a big, big deal. You also have district attorney races and something called the President of the United States, which may be the big daddy of them all. When you, first off, do you have any challengers that you know of?
Not that I know of at this time.
When you look at two big things, first off, again, this is going to feel super disorganized because it is. How long do we get to have you this morning before you have to go actually do a job?
Well, if you write me a note, because I'm, I, you know, I can stay till a little bit before 8. How's that?
Oh, great. Okay, great, great. Okay. Because this will give me a chance to get into the second segment stuff, because I do want to talk to you about some things that have taken place recently in the party. But let's stay at the statewide level. When you look at doing another 2-year term and you look at what you've done over the last 2 years, you talked about, hey, we want to continue the relationship building. What are the things that we have to do differently? And I think that everybody out there is like, we got to do something different because November was a dumpster fire of an outcome. What is it we have to do differently?
Couple of things that we need to do differently. One is, you know, I know people hear this word a lot. It's that unifying piece. Persuading others to hear our heart and to talk about issues that impact people. We have to get better at having these conversations. Sometimes we're in a silo and we talk to each other and it's almost always red meat, you know, how we talk about the issues and the things we're passionate about and upset about. But when we go out and talk to an unaffiliated voter or maybe even a Republican who's not involved politically or volunteers in their local party about the issues, people want to hear, A, we care, and how are we talking about we care about them as a person and the realities of their life, and what solutions are we bringing, and are we asking people for their opinion and asking them to get involved, because it's a lot of work, it's a lot of lift. And so being better at the art of persuasion and talking about the issues in a real way that's solution-minded is something we're going to have to do better at. And that's something I'm committed with doing, is training candidates and training grassroots volunteers. And when you go door-to-door or talk with your neighbors or talk with your coworkers, how are you talking about these issues to the point where it's about the issue and it's about the solution and not about a party? I think that's going to be key. And the other key is money.
How did we do fundraising-wise from a historic perspective in the 2022?
I think we did okay compared to the last term with Ken Buck.
Yeah.
I think we did okay, but it's not significant to compete against Democrats. For every one commercial we did, they had 10 commercials, and that takes money in order to get the message out. So,
by the way, maybe that's the other benefit of 2024 for us. Of course, the airwaves will be flooded with presidential stuff, but not having a near billionaire governor and a United States senator who is sitting on a bank full of cash to flood the airwaves, there's an opportunity to try to get closer to parity. How do we do it? How do you convince? And this is what I'm feeling. And I don't have direct connection to the donors. I have direct connection to people who have direct connection to the donors. They're skittish. I mean, they looked at November and thought, whoa, are we betting on a winner? Is there any reason to invest money in this if we don't have a shot? I mean, how do you get folks to start coming up with the bucks?
So, yeah, we need to manage expectations. And so when you talk about rebuilding, it's about building trust and it's about relationships. People will donate money to someone they trust or someone they feel like is going to be effective and impactful. And how do we do that? So we have to start from the bottom up again, train our candidates, train our volunteers. This is how we're going to work together with a plan. And so yes, municipal and school board races, these races that are close to home, these are the low hanging fruit where we can go to donors and say, hey, we need you to max donate to these candidates, because it's more accessible. Those max donation numbers are easier to get. When we're talking about bigger congressional races or state races, the candidate needs to be trained on how to talk to donors, sit down one-on-one and say, how can we partner? What is it that we can do to make Colorado better? You know, what specific solutions have you seen that you've done? Because big donors are successful. A lot of them are business owners. Yeah. They're smart.
Right.
And so they're smart with their money and they don't want to squander their money.
No, they don't want to bet on a loser.
They don't want to bet on a loser. Exactly. And so how can you present yourself and to your donor that this is you're a winner and this is a win-win relationship and a commitment on bringing solutions? And so that's an art, but we need to build up a bench. And so, you know, my thought is we've got amazing Republican commissioners all across Colorado who have the power and authority to appoint people to boards and commissions and to learn how to build their resume and become great candidates. But there is a learning curve. And so it takes a little bit of time to learn how to be a statesman and learn how to go around to the community and be a listener and be calm and be solution oriented. So these are things that I think are going to help build up that relationship and trust with big donors.
Do you feel like the quality of the candidates was a significant issue for 2020? And I know that's a tough question to ask you because as the vice chair of the party, I mean, you're in the business of promoting all the candidates no matter how they made it onto the ballot. I get that. But is that what I think I hear you saying is we need to have more refined, better trained communicators as candidates than perhaps we had. Is that part of this?
I mean, that's a general statement. At the top, our statewide candidates were all experienced and amazing candidates. I think we
except
had...
for Kilner.
No, yeah, except for John.
Except for John. Really, really difficult to understand the words he says. It feels very choppy to me, like half sentences and then noises. I don't know how he's made it this far.
You know, and I will say, you know, and they were such likable people. I mean, had great conversations with every single one of them. It's really tough when you have people who are running for re-election. And that's the thing. When you're running against someone who's running for re-election, they automatically get a certain percentage of the vote. And so, and they have a base. But again, going down the, you know, statewide ballots, that's where we have opportunities to start to build. I mean, and I want to encourage people, run for your, you know, HOA board, as much as we don't like HOAs, run for your HOA board, run for your school board, run for your PTA. Start getting involved and write op-eds. Go to the Capitol. There's opportunities every week to go to the Capitol and fight for the things that we believe in value-wise. So and start to get experience with coalition building. And these are the steps that you take in order to make yourself a really strong candidate, because that's when the scrutiny starts to come. When you run for something and the questions start coming, if you got to have answers and you have to have that ability to talk with people and persuade people. And so I'm not saying that we didn't have great candidates, but I am saying the further down you go, obviously that's where you have to build the resume.
And you mean down the ballot?
Down the ballot. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. What did I say?
You said further down. I just want to make sure.
Oh, yes.
I can see your hands gesturing, and everyone who's on the YouTube sees you doing that, showing that it's the ballot. Uh-huh. But further down, I didn't want people to think that you were like throwing stones or something. You're just basically saying, listen, as you work your way down the ballot, you get to races where there's more obscurity and there's bigger pressure on them because they just don't have the campaign structure, the funding, and all that other stuff. I like what you said about this year's election cycle, because that school board stuff and the municipalities, you can have a real impact right now. And the proof of that, even though these are nonpartisan races, is the Douglas County School Board flipped in the last election cycle and Aurora City Council. Those are two consequential organizations that voters have a direct impact on, that even though they're nonpartisan, you can see how having conservative voices on there makes a difference in what those folks do. I like the HOA comment, too. Yeah, we don't like the HOAs. But if you want to see HOAs limited in the craziness that they do, become the HOA, right? Like, be part of that.
That's actually where I started. I wanted to dip my pinky toe into the world of politics. And I thought, well, I'll start with my HOA, because I wasn't happy with our management company. And I got on the HOA and replaced the management company.
Oh, hello.
Oh, yeah.
Huge benefit. The community loved it.
We voted to replace the management company because I personally felt like they were being unfair to homeowners. You know,
And you have the change that you made for that HOA. Is it still in place?
Yes.
Still, okay, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. How many years ago did you do that?
Three.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's impressive, the lasting change that you can make even at the HOA. We're talking with Priscilla Ron, vice chair of the party. I have more questions about stuff, but we're coming up close to a natural break. You've told us you can stay. I just want to give you the opportunity to save your career and bow out now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a few more. I can stay for a little bit more.
You should, if you watched the YouTube, you saw her look down at the phone like there was going to be some saving message or a time where she's like, oh my God, we're out of time. I'm so sorry. I have to go be a teacher again. So we'll get back with Priscilla Ron in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you about a superstar in her own right. Her name is Gay Ribble. She is part of the Empower Home team of realtors. And frankly, she's the top of the pyramid. If you look at people, and you've heard Priscilla talk about it takes time to get people trained up. That's true of any industry. If you call Gay Ribble as you think about to yourself, in this market, in this challenging, stressful market, who can best get me the outcome that I need? And that's selling your house for top dollar and getting you into that next dream house in a competitive market with the less, with the least amount of stress. That's Gay Ribble and the Empower Home team. They do a bunch of crazy stuff that gets them results you don't get with other realtors. How about this? On average, they sell your home for $30,000 more than the average realtor. That's $30,000. That's a lot of money. That takes Billy an entire month of work to earn that kind of money behind the glass. They also sell the homes faster than your average realtor. The Reynolds and Power Home team, they have all the buyers. Gay's told you about this before, 14,000 buyers in waiting, just waiting for you to list your home with them. When I'm talking about real estate and talking about buying a house, there is a one-stop shop to go to, and that is Gay Ribble. I trust Gay, not just because she's great at this work, but because she's also a good person. And I've told you before, she is dedicated to building families. She is invested passionately in adoption. I love that. Adoption touches my family directly. I like her part. I like her heart, and I like the fact that she is great at what she does. If you want to work with someone who has programs like, oh, I don't know, their Empower Home free workshops, and you ought to do that, empowerhomefreeworkshops.com. That's how easy it is. Empowerhomefreeworkshops.com. They help to empower you to make smart decisions. Also, the Sold in 5 program, 6.1% more for your home. Sold in 5? Are you kidding? That's what they do. The Reynolds and Power Home team, they're the best source. Do me a favor. Go out to gayhasthebuyers.com. Also call 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. When we come back, it's you, me, some of the techs, and Prawn from the state GOP party. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. Going into the Wayback Machine for the Cranberries here on 710 KNUS. That's got to be 30 years ago. And back then, Priscilla, you were 4. Well,
yeah, I was an embryo.
We're still talking with the current, the once and future vice chair for the state GOP party. You know her better now as Prawn. It's Priscilla Ron. We're talking about T-shirts that she could have made up. I'm no shrimp. Prawn. We'll see. I don't know if that's a winning campaign slogan. I begged her not to do this, but Priscilla has agreed to take phone calls from callers. We're going to open that up, 303-696-1971. Before we get to the calls, and we already have one on the line here, I do want to ask you a couple questions, because texters, and you can get us on the app or at 710knus.com with the text, has said, who did you support for chairman or chairperson of the RNC, and do you have a vote in that?
No, I don't have a vote. Only 3 people in each state get to vote. It's the
I was two of them. No, I don't have a vote.
It's the chairperson of each state and the national committee man and national committee woman. So the vice chair does not get a vote.
So that's KBB, Randy, and Vera.
Correct.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. So those 3 folks are the only 3 votes that were had. I think Randy indicated he voted for Dylan. Mm-hmm. But I don't – actually, I've never asked KBB. I don't know who she voted for. But that's to answer that question right there. The other thing is someone texted in, and this is smart too. We started the conversation about candles and the fact that Priscilla, in what limited spare time that she has when she's not teaching kids or running around trying to make the state party better, she makes candles. And there's a website where people can go to get non-toxic candles.
Yes.
What is it?
It's RodellOrganics.com, and Rodell is spelled R-H-O-D-E-L-L.
Oh, say that again, because the H snuck up on me.
R-H-O-D-E-L-L, Organics, plural.com, or you can find me on Etsy at Rodell Organics.
The Etsy.
Because the Etsy.com.
For me, when you're over 50, every single tech thing has to begin with the. Like, kids, are we going to watch the Netflix today?
It's, you know? Not in this case. There's no the. And everybody's like, well, where does Rodell come from? I was named after my grandmother. That's my middle name, Rodell.
Oh, yeah. Rodell with an H. That's pretty cool. All right. Now let's get back to the good stuff that's here. We have a caller on the line. You foolishly agreed to take calls. Jennifer, you're on 710 with Priscilla and George.
Or is it George and Prawn?
Well, whichever name you use, you always lead with the best part of the show, and that's Prawn.
All right. Well, for now on, she will always be known as Prawn.
I like
and
to
I
think
understand
that's true.
That her soap edible?
It's not, but I would not recommend eating the soap, but it's very natural.
So you have soap and candles?
Oh, my soaps are amazing. Oh, we talked about this is the best soap. Oh, no, I didn't talk about our show.
No, you talked about it
on Stefan's show. Okay.
Well, that explains a lot because hygiene is a challenge.
The soap is amazing, yes.
Is it really?
Handcrafted.
Like tingly? Like it'll...
Oh,
will it make me look younger? Because I could use that.
Oh, yeah. It reverses aging.
Man,
I better not say that because I could get in trouble by the what?
Biden.
FDA, the bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Jennifer, I'm sure you called in to talk more about soap, but...
I did. I was going to say, hey, guys, can we move this along now?
Yeah.
So I got some questions. And by the way, Priscilla, thanks for running. You're kind of like Obi-Wan, you know? You're our last great hope, Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
but anyway,
if you'll strike me down, I shall... Yeah, go ahead.
We've seen a number of candidates run for higher offices that have no experience, so I really like what you're talking about as far as getting some bench strength. But, you know, it's not always easy to get these appointments. For example, in my previous residence, I was in an industry where I was very knowledgeable of that county's land use resolution, land use code, and applied for a planning commission spot and was rejected first year. I went back and I applied again, rejected a second time. And really, when I looked at the breakdown of everybody who was appointed, they were all that one party or they were unaffiliated. So do you have any advice for somebody who's trying to, you know, get their toe in the water, run for something, but the odds are stacked against them? And then I have one more question.
Yeah, I know. I think that's where maybe you take a step back and you start showing up to meetings with no agenda. Just make, you know, shake hands with commissioners and then ask to have a coffee with them and say, hey, you know, I have a perspective, you know, diversity of thought's really important. I have ideas. Here's what I feel like I can contribute. You know, can I have an opportunity? Can I be an alternate? We have a lot. For every district, we have alternates that show up when an appointed person can't make it. And so there's another step before being appointed that you can start to tip your pinky toe in the water. And so I would say just showing up to different meetings and getting to know one-on-one because it's a trust issue too with them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for the sake of having representation that's more diverse on these committees is a great argument.
One other thing that that Jennifer's question makes me think of is there some sort of a central clearinghouse that the party has that lets people know on some of these more obscure governmental committees and stuff what vacancies there are? And I know that our friend Kathleen Chandler from Independence Institute, she keeps track of a lot of that and shoots out 8 billion emails. Maybe I'm asking the wrong person, but how do we get that information out to people?
Absolutely. That kind of depends on the chairperson in your county, how experienced they are with all of these committees. And so you're right. Kathleen is master at talking about how to get involved at you know, the civics engagement. But I think your listeners, now that they know, like, this is an opportunity, you can take some initiative. Join one of the Independent Institute's training sessions, but also go to your county chair and say, I'm really interested in taking the next step. Who do you know in the county that I can sit down and have a conversation with? And I would start there and just assert yourself into the process because it starts with we the people. And you don't have to have a ton of experience. You have to have a desire and the ability to work with other people.
Jennifer, you had a part B.
Yes, and this one's a tough one. So are you ready, Prawn?
Hold on. Somebody just texted in and said, why does Jennifer sound like KBB? I promise you, this is not Christy Burton Brown. I love the idea that there's like a deep throat call out there like, what about this?
What about this? No,
who's your favorite chairman ever?
Christy has a really well-controlled voice where sometimes I squeak a little bit. So, no, I'm not KBB. All right, here's my other question. You have seen the field unfold for chair. How do you see yourself working with what is likely going to be a very right-leaning chair?
Well, and I'll follow up on that. I think that's a very good question, and I don't want to make it awkward for whoever you work with, but who is absolutely the worst candidate? No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to ask you that at all.
Didn't you tell me in the break you were thinking about running?
Never once have I uttered those words. And I'll say this, and it's been flattering. Some people have reached out and said, hey, have you thought about it? I've heard your name rumored. I'm like, no, look, I'm not cut out for that role. That is not a me role.
Yeah, there are a lot of rumors. But anyway...
I love rumors.
So how do I see myself working with the new chair?
Yeah, so you know KBB. You've worked with her for 2 years. I think it's a great question. When you look at the field... How do you adjust to whomever is going to take over that top of the pyramid position?
Sure. You know, everybody that's running has different strengths. And so I feel like my job and my role is to fill in wherever there are weaknesses or use my strengths and leverage my strengths to work with whoever the chair is. We're a team. We're going to be a team. The goal is going to be to help get Republicans elected. And so I feel like I can work with anybody. You know, I'm not afraid to share my opinion, you know, behind closed doors about things. And hopefully whoever the new chair is will be a great listener, a great team player, and continue to work with candidates. And so it's really the choice is up to the voters, the Republicans, you know, at the assembly to vet the candidates, ask the hard questions now, because that's a big decision for them to make. I can work with anybody.
How many folks are in the field right now? Do you remember the names of who's already announced?
Right now, I know officially three have announced. So Casper, Eric, and Aaron Wood.
And Eric Odlin is, of course, the former congressional or nominee for Congress against Brittany Pederson. So he's running, and then Aaron Wood. And Aaron Wood, the only reason I really know that name as well as I do is because he produced at least that appearance over by the state party headquarters where a bunch of people took to the back of some truck and said some really horrible things. And it gets me to my next question. Jennifer, by the way, thank you for the phone call. I mean, Christy, thank you for the – I mean, Jennifer, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. And keep Thanks. Listening. But you talked earlier on about the whole unity thing. And so when you look at those events that took place, the ones that were using words like treachery and treason and ass wipes and all this other stuff, how in God's name are you going to help us get? And I'm not saying it's your responsibility. I'm saying you have rightly identified that that is a huge issue for us right now, not in 2024, right this second. How do you do that?
Yeah. So I use my voice, my platform to say what I feel is unacceptable and immoral and not conducive to bringing people together. Those are words that turn people off and anger people because elections are won in the middle. And I don't care where you fall on the spectrum, we have to be respectful and we can't talk about each other that way. And nobody wants to be involved in an organization where you're insulted and called out of your name and put down for no reason other than you can't control your emotions and you don't understand how to play nice in the sandbox. So at the end of the day, again, it comes down to the voters. I would hope that, and I know because these are the most involved volunteers that are running to be bonus members. These are the people that really want to have a voice. My hope is that we expect that our top leaders are respectful. They have a plan, that they are reasonable and calm, that they understand how to triage and problem solve and fix the problems in a way that will get us the most movement and the most change that we need to see. That's the expectation I have. And so I will use my platform and my voice to call out things that I think are inappropriate because I think that's what people elected me to do.
Even if it comes from the chair?
Yes.
That's interesting. And I wouldn't expect anything less from you. But let's another unity topic, but something that maybe isn't on everybody's radar. There was an event that took place that involved the El Paso County GOP.
Oh, I got to go.
Billy, lock the door.
Billy, yeah, 4 minutes.
Do not let Prawn leave. can you describe, and I know it's not a question of taking sides one way or the other, but procedurally talk about what just took place and where does it leave us?
So there were some individuals in El Paso County who contacted the state party chair. They're unhappy with some decisions that were made.
By the party chair in El Paso.
By the county chair in El Paso.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So state party chair did a call to have a meeting via Zoom, an emergency meeting of the state central committee. And so we didn't have enough time to hear both sides. I mean, 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
And was this
sides.
The yesterday thing?
This was the yesterday thing. So the question And it was a very well-attended meeting. The question was whether this meeting was appropriate, if this was the right step, you know, because typically if there's a controversy, it goes to the county, and the county has to resolve it amongst themselves first. And if it's not resolved, then it comes to the state. So that step didn't take place. So
okay, interesting.
There are some folks who feel like that should have taken place first before a state heard the problems that were happening.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening was a vote to essentially remove the county
chair,
the party chair for the meeting,
yeah,
and have a neutral person run the meeting for the reorg meeting next month on the 11th of February. So it was very close, almost 50-50. It was
wow.
very tight.
What does that tell you?
Tells me that there are people who walked away from that meeting feeling like it wasn't fair.
Damn, see, and again, when you say stuff like that, and I believe you, it brings me back to that idea of how and when are we going to unify over this?
Well, that's the key. You know, people, this is the fundamental thing, I think, with all the contention across the state, is a fairness issue. I was thinking about, like, what is the root of what's happening here, where both sides don't feel like something is fair in the process? And so that's when we have to go back to our bylaws and see what is it that we're procedurally supposed to do. And I fundamentally believe in a governance that is, you know, smaller government, freedom, capitalism, proper role of government. I know you're giving me this look like, why would I? I don't know how to interpret that look.
The YouTube folks know what she's talking about.
So, you know, I think, like, how is the party governing? Are we governing with that same model? You know, and so I think it's really, really crucial that people walk away, A, being heard, and being on the Douglas County Planning Commission, that's my goal. When people come from the public and I'm sitting on the dais, no matter which way I vote, I have to make sure that everybody involved feels heard, that they feel like it's fair, and that I'm making a reasonable decision. I can explain why I'm making the decision. And so I see people leaving that, or I saw people leave that meeting last night feeling like the process wasn't fair.
Yeah, that's a killer.
That is a killer. And so that's something that we're going to have to fix. Whoever our new chair is coming in is going to have to make sure that the appearance and the process are all on the up and up, and that it's fair, so that people can walk away saying, well, I didn't get my way, and that's okay, because this is a democratic process, the vote, majority vote, but at least I felt respected and I felt fair.
That was fair. You've hit upon something that's very American, and that is, we are not an outcome-driven system. We are a process-driven system. And I live in that with the criminal justice system. I don't win every single case I go to trial on, but I don't walk out of court feeling like I got cheated by the rules or by sometimes by the judge, but never like enough to think it anyway. So last question, tough one. My guess is each of the three candidates running for chair right now are invested in the idea of having us withdraw from the current primary system and do that sort of circle the wagons assembly only nomination process. Have you given that any thought, and what your position is on that?
Well, I feel fundamentally, and I'm on record saying this, that Republicans should vote for Republicans.
Agreed.
in a primary. And so, again, this comes down to how do we make that happen without alienating people? What's the best process? We have to follow the law. And so, again, it comes down to how do we persuade our legislators to change the process, or how do we make this work so we don't.
We could vote to withdraw. And again, the last time we tried this was just 15 minutes ago, and it got defeated pretty soundly. I'm not sure that would happen again. I feel like that, whatever that high threshold is it 75% or something? We might hit that. The only thing I'm concerned about is not just the idea that we're excluding unaffiliated voters from that, but we're saying, hey, we want Republicans to make this decision. But really what we'd be doing is saying we want 4,000 Republicans to make this decision for everybody else, because there wouldn't be a primary that we would send out ballots and pay for. My guess is they would just say, let's just do it at the convention. And then all of a sudden it becomes a very, very small universe of participants. Billy just gave one of us the middle finger, and I think what he means is we're out of time. I presume it was you. And Billy, I think that's rude to treat our guests that way. Nonetheless, Pran, Priscilla Ron, fantastic vice chair for the party. My hope is with no other thoughts on who could do a better job, because I just don't think they can. My hope is we have you around to kick around the radio for the next 2 years in this position.
Thank you. I heart you.
last question. Remind us of the website for apparently candles that also double as soap. If I misstated that, you can actually light them, enjoy the aroma, and get clean at the same time.
Yes. Rhodel Organics, R-H-O-D-E-L-L, Organics, plural, .com.
And they're also, according to Jennifer, the caller, edible.
I would not recommend that.
You heard it here first, folks. Breaking news, exclusive news. Priscilla Ron, a candidate for vice chair of the state party, part two. Priscilla, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, George.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to be joined by our buddies from Alpine Planning. It's George Brockter on The George Show, 710 KNUS. We be back here at 710 KNUS, going right to the VIP line. That's VIP. It rhymes with babe. It's our friend Gabe. And now I suddenly I'm disappointed in my choice of rhyming words. Nonetheless, Gabe from Alpine Planning, how are you, my friend?
You're making me blush, George, honestly. Well,
I should have just texted it to you, which would have made it more awkward, but less public. Man, what's going on out there?
Starting this morning in the red, sir, a big, big day on Wall Street with the Fed announcing its interest rate decision later today. That'll come at noon.
What's your guess?
Not in 2 p.m. Eastern. I think overall money is on a quarter basis point hike, but I think what's, which will be the lowest since last March, but I think what's really important is, although things seem to be abating as far as inflation, you know, we've seen months and months of inflation coming down, it's still well above its long-term average. And I think the Fed has a mandate to finish its process. I actually saw a good analogy. It's like taking the full antibiotic prescription, even though you're already better.
Yeah, so, listen, I worry about that. I think the Fed, and they were much maligned early. Maybe they're going to give us that soft landing. But look, we're going to know pretty soon whether or not they have screwed this whole thing up or they are master abaters of the. You realize that was just a setup because I'm 12 on the inside. Forgive me.
You're on fire between Gabe and Master
Abater. I know. Somebody, by the way, Gabe, I don't mean to cut you off, but somebody sent me a link to Wikipedia for prawn. And one of the definitions, I kid you not, is a deliberate misspelling of porn to bypass internet filters. And now I suddenly feel horrified for our good friend Priscilla because we had the T-shirts ordered. Anyway, go on with what should we expect financially, my friend?
Oh, George. Well, you're exactly right. I think Brian, Amy's, and I concern on why we think it's going to be a choppy few quarters here is all of the layoffs you're getting in the tech space and throughout the economy have not really settled in yet. You're finally starting to see some tick up in things like credit card debt, car default payments, things of that nature. And so I think we are really at an inflection point with the Fed. And if the economy can sort of power through the position they've put it in. Obviously, it's their mandate to control prices, but we'll just see if the consumer, if jobs can stay strong. And so I think it's going to be a trying time. I think if your listeners need some help with their plan, their portfolio, the market's being up so much in January. NASDAQ was up over 11%.
Yeesh.
You know, it's best month since the start of the century. I think that now is some time if you are worried about it, that there are some capital preservation plays to be made. But obviously, as we always say, investing is a long-term game, and I think there's a balance between growth and protection. And so if you have some listeners and that need help with that, just have them give Amy, myself, and Brian a call.
Quickly, before we let you go, how many snow days have you had so far up on the mountain?
I'm not at liberty to say because I think Brian and Amy might shoot me.
Okay. Well, next time we'll text it off air. Listen, folks, there's simply no need to try to guess at what to do. There's no need to just surf around the internet and try to take someone else's advice. You have subject matter experts. Love these folks. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing, as always, it's a matter of trust. And they're prepared to earn and keep yours. Call them today, 303-843-0918, 303-843-0918. Gabe, thank you, my man.
Don't stop the pee-pee jokes.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Love me some Gabe from Alpine Planning. Listen, when we come back, we're going to be joined by somebody who's crazy enough to run for mayor of Denver. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.